Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Number three, just ahead, the fastest 3 hours on Internet Talk Radio is right here on this program powered by Zinc Media Arts. We are in the middle still of the Intel report. It is going a little bit longer today because it was what you heard was the first half of this interview that Agent 0010 had with source named D about Puerto Rico. Now, keep in mind, folks, this is not just the problem in Puerto Rico. Now, remember back when Katrina hit, folks? Let me take you back to that time. And we were all speculating, well, this is not just a problem in New Orleans. And then the whole news died down after the travesty of the Silver Dome, everybody being herded in there with buses parked outside that were now flooded. And so they couldn't get them running when they should have been taken out of there before then. Now, just think, at least those people had some place to go. Puerto Ricans didn't have a Silver Dome. They knew the hurricane was coming. They knew their infrastructure was vulnerable, extremely fragile. They did not make plans. This is the big takeaway. So what happened in New Orleans happened in Puerto Rico, but it was much worse. And there are two reasons why you're not hearing about this. One, just like in New Orleans, run by a bunch of Democrats. Two, let's face it, folks, Puerto Ricans are not like black people. If you say you attack a black community, that's news. Oh, if a bunch of American citizen Latinos, that's not news. That's exactly how it works. And when those Puerto Ricans come stateside and they figure this out here and they get the real news, that's when they flip. Because they understand that there is a real problem on their home island. And many of them, most of them, much like Cubans, they don't want to go back. They do not want to go back. Because they realize, well, I know people think, well, this is the United States. It's Puerto Rico is part of the USA. They know what it's like in the USA. No, folks, they don't. That's the problem. They think because they've spent most of their lives on that island that the rest of the country is just like they are. And they get here and they realize, why the F are we so behind? How is that possible? This is why they flip. I mean, it doesn't happen overnight. You know, some people realize it faster than others, but it does happen. The only problem is that they're not taking these conservative ideas back to the island of Puerto Rico and forcing change. They're staying here saying, I'm not going back there. I don't blame them. Now you know how this always happens in Democratic enclaves. Because they stay there, doesn't matter, even if it's just a city. People are told, well, there isn't much opportunity out there for you. There isn't any. So you just might as well stay you know, on the east side of Chicago, or in the poorest section of New Orleans, or in Queens or the Bronx, or excuse me, Brooklyn or the Bronx. You know, just stay there because there's really no opportunity. And when they finally decide to break out and they get outside of it, they're there's all kinds of opportunity. Why isn't it the same where I came from? It's not just Puerto Rico, folks. It's not just New Orleans. It's all over this country. This report is bringing to light the problems that the Democrat Party foist on almost all of us. This is what they want to do to the rest of the country. Why? Because all you got to do is go to Puerto Rico and see how dependent the people were on the government. And as you see, back in 91, they changed the form of the government to where those in charge in the local municipalities all of a sudden became as powerful or more powerful than the governor. They got to determine how everybody lived in their municipality. And this is exactly what Democrats want to do all over this country. And if you don't believe me, and if you're a leftist listening in, then let me ask you, why is it that the first thing any of you do, instead of trying to fix a problem, you want to make a law? That law ends up usually breaking it, even the problem, even worse. Because it is not government's duty or job to take care of you. Because when you give them that power, they no longer govern, they rule. And we see exactly what happens when you give people that kind of power and you allow them to rule over you. When something comes to a life and death experience, excuse me, like a hurricane, this is exactly what happens every freaking time. Now, what happens to communities that are governed more conservatively? Oh, they usually bounce back pretty damn fast after a natural disaster, do they not? The places that lag behind are run almost exclusively by Democrats. Now, I got to ask, is there any part of that, agent, that I misunderstood or got wrong?
I would say not. See, let me explain something, okay?
All right.
First of all, he destated that Puerto Rico has 78, that's 78 municipalities. Now, let's compare that to another state in the United States that's comparably about the same size as Puerto Rico, and that would be the state of Connecticut. Connecticut has 25 municipalities, supposedly. Now, I get a feeling that that's way wrong, but from what I keep pulling up on my research, it's 25.
Well, let me just give people a little example of how New England often runs. Like here in my state of New Hampshire, we have 13 cities. Yes, I know 13, and 10 counties. Now, the counties in this state, unlike in the state of New York, counties are not that well, you know, governed out, I guess. We don't have big county government here. So really the towns and the cities are, you know, they're kind of like their own little fiefdom, but they don't have power over the governor, obviously. And folks, in order to be a state, you can't. You see, there are specific rules that you have to follow in order to become a state. Might I add, by the way, when they were talking about the National Guard units, see, this is where people often get it wrong. The United States is not a single country. We are a collection of, you might as well say, 50 countries. That's why we're called a union. That's why we're a republic, not a country. Governors have the power because that's the way it's written in the Constitution. The federal government just can't come in and just take over any place that they damn well want without permission from the state. They all have to have a similar governmental structure. that matches up with the federal constitution. That's the only requirement. And there are a lot of little, you know, nuances there that we could talk for days on that people just don't fully understand. But in order for Puerto Rico to be, one of the things that is hindering Puerto Rico from actually becoming a state is this problem, this decentralized government that can't, you can't be a state and have that. Now, some states, they have, you know, their counties, like New York, have a lot more power. And in some states, like New Hampshire, they don't. Connecticut is one of the states that has, the counties have a little bit more power. But they still do not trump the municipalities or the city. So when we say municipalities, we're talking about cities, towns, and counties. And in some places, the towns really don't have a government. It's the county that's really the government. And that's why you get, it seems when he says there's only 25 municipalities, is why it seems like there's too few. Simply because there's a lot more than 25 towns and cities in Connecticut, obviously. But because much like New York, a lot of times the towns do not have a real strong central government because it's based on the county. Their police department is the sheriff's department in a lot of towns in New York. They don't have their own police department. They rely on the county sheriff. The sheriff actually runs around like city cops, but their jurisdiction is the entire county. So those are the differences in that. Just to point that out.
Now, I continue to draw a comparison. Now, like he said, Puerto Rico has 78 municipalities. Well, let's take a look at one of our biggest states, the state of Texas. That has 254 counties, but Texas is massive. Then you have Rhode Island, the smallest state of the union. That has only 5 counties. But going back to Connecticut, because it is comparably about the same size as Puerto Rico, that only has 8 counties, only 3 more than the smallest state in the union, which is Rhode Island. Rhode Island 5, Connecticut 8, Puerto Rico 78, and here's why. Having 78 municipalities means it is easier to control the citizenry by either bought votes or by strong arming. What is easier to control, 20 people or 200 people? That's the way to look at it. Because guess what? If you have these 78 municipalities, it is easier for you to reach out and make all these false promises or buy a vote or strong arm a vote in your favor. Because guess what? It is easier to say, okay, let's take a look at the tallies now. I've got, let's say, 200 people in my district. And 198 of them voted in.
Uh-oh.
We're going to find the other. That is why there are so many municipalities, because it is easier to control the citizenry. Now, the best way to draw the analogy, and I got to add a little levity here, the best way to draw an analogy between something from popular television to what the political structure in Puerto Rico is, Puerto Rico's got a whole bunch of boss hogs. That's exactly it. Controlling the county, controlling the municipality. Hey, Roscoe, Pico, train. Get them Duke boys. That's exactly what these people are like. That's how they're treating the citizenry of Puerto Rico. And let's take a look at something else. Puerto Rico is not the only island territory or island commonwealth, because the official name of Puerto Rico is the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. Now, if we take a look, Puerto Rico is not the only island, because we have Guam, and we have the U.S. Virgin Islands. And these are just two examples. Now, whenever they have a natural disaster, such as a hurricane, or they need federal assistance, they do not have that hindering law that exists in Puerto Rico from 1991. So the people actually get the help. There is nothing stopping the federal government other than not getting a phone call from the governors of those islands and saying, hey, we need federal assistance immediately. That's the only thing the federal government needs. And they come in and they're like, okay, how do you want to get this done? The governments of those islands actually work with the federal agencies like FEMA. the United States military, the United States government itself, representatives from the White House. They work with these organizations in order to get aid to the people, as opposed to Puerto Rico. Well, guess what? If you draw the comparison, and this is historically speaking, the U.S. Virgin Islands and Guam, they've recovered much, much quicker than this current situation in Puerto Rico. Now, recently there was one individual, his last name is Mr. Velez. Mr. Velez is one of the Democrat bosses of Puerto Rico. Now, this individual was arrested in June, July. Why was he arrested? Because they found him absconding off with $8 million meant for the people of Puerto Rico. It's on the internet. Look it up.
$8 million.
Now, the mayor of San Juan, Ms. Yulin Soto Cruz, she's under investigation because suspiciously $3 million are missing. Ladies and gentlemen, that's $11 million between two people. The only reason why Mr. Velez got caught is because he got greedy. $8
million. Hey, let me ask, did they happen to find thousands of dollars in his freezer?
That I don't know.
Well, you know, this is...
But if they did, he's a dumb bastard. Well, he's got electricity.
Well, you know, that may be funny, freezer? But we do know of a was it Louisiana, you know, congressman who was caught with I forget how many thousands of dollars. It gave new meaning to the term cold hard cash. But and he tried to say, "Oh, this it's not mine. It's just a bunch of donations." Yeah, you keep it in your freezer. But anyway, so he ended up going to jail. I forget his name. What's his name? Jackson or something? I forget his name. But anyway, this is not just limited to Puerto Rico, which is what people need to fully understand. Because the news about a lot of these places, we think that they might be remote, but New Orleans isn't remote. But the same damn thing happened. Why? Because it was run by Democrats. I can't emphasize that enough.
Look, you know what? I want to read to you guys what I was going to read at the beginning of the hour, okay? And I'm going to go through this quick. Although the congressional representation of Puerto Rico does not have a vote in Congress, he or she does have a voice to convey the needs and situation of the island territory. They do control the narrative going in and coming out of the island when Hurricane Maria struck Pedro Pierluisi.
Okay. Did we lose you? I think we lost you.
As to the suffering of the people of Louisiana, which was downplayed while President Obama played golf. What was that?
Yeah. Okay. Keep going. We lost you for a second, but keep going. President Obama played golf.
Okay. Today, we will start hearing the truth about Puerto Rico. The before, during, and after of the natural disaster of Hurricane Maria. The fact that Mr. Pierluisi stayed silent while the governor of Puerto Rico praised the president, while the mayor of San Juan spewed hatred and venom, speaks volumes of the almost total corruption that has existed and still does to this day. The corruption that hampered all attempts by FEMA to aid the people. Then there is the currently standing law that hampers the governor from doing anything. So, while this congressional representative remains silent, he neither sided with the governor nor sided with the mayor of San Juan. Guess what? With his total complete silence, he sided with the mayor of San Juan because he did not defend not just the president, but more importantly, he did not defend FEMA while they were trying to do everything they could to help the people, and they were being blocked left and right by the mayor of San Juan and by her other 77 little cronies. That was the situation.
Now, as a side note, the small little company out of the Dakotas. Now, understand, they got this. Everybody knows about the company. It was small. It had like before they went down in Puerto Rico, they had like three or four full time people, employees for this small company, and they got the contract not because they were the lowest bidder, but because they were the only bidder. And the reason is, when you ask some of these other contractors who do this kind of work, you know, restringing lines and putting up power and power lines and repairing power plants, they all denied to put in a bid because they already knew the situation in Puerto Rico. This small company did not know what they were in for. And when they got there, let me just say, they ran into an after-the-storm shitstorm. And they were hampered every time. They complained about trying to get, you know, proper people down there who were licensed to be linemen down there, because every single one of these jurisdictions that wanted, that the lines had to be strung through, they wanted their, some of their own people up there, but they weren't licensed to do the work. So these poor guys, thinking, well, we're going to go down there, we're going to, you know, we're going to help them out, we're the only company that's bidding, so we're going to do this quick and show out what kind of a company that we could possibly be. And instead, they ran into a shitstorm, and now they're the ones getting the blame when they shouldn't be getting the blame. In fact, as small as this company is, with no political pull or power whatsoever, to accomplish what they've already accomplished down there is nothing short of saying that it's a miracle. They have done a wonderful job of trying. They would have already had the island restrung. It would have been fully repowered by now, but they got blocked everywhere because they were trying to follow the rules, and these people were trying to strong arm them, and they were not going for it. But it hampered them. Not to mention, like I said, you know, it's difficult to build high tension power lines in remote areas. It's also very difficult to keep having to string up a bunch of telephone poles everywhere when you don't have a natural resource to make your own telephone poles on the island. They have to be shipped in. How long does that take? So, and they didn't have enough of these supplies for repair laying in wait. And then what they did have laying in wait was squandered. Well, this is something that we are going to continue next week with this. And if you think this first half was pretty damning and devastating, wait till you hear the rest of this. I'm telling you, folks, this is definitely going to blow you away. Final thoughts, Agent. Final thoughts, Agent.
Okay, listen, folks. You heard the first part. You have to come back and listen to the second part. For the simple fact is, for a clear and precise understanding, okay, there were people from FEMA out there risking their lives. They weren't in a nice, safe building. They were out there trying to direct, trying to get things done during the hurricane. But they were hampered. We have to understand that this kind of ridiculous mentality, the Democratic Party, the DNC, holds Puerto Rico as one of their strongholds. Even though the people there on the island cannot vote, well, guess what? The people of the island do have influence with their family members in the United States, in New York City, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Florida. They have family in the United States, and they still have an influence with those family members here in the United States. And the Democratic Party knows this. The Democratic Party knows exactly what's going on. Pieces of trash like Schumer, Pelosi, these two bubbleheads, they know exactly what's going on down there, but yet they decided to join in on the Bash the President Party with Ms. Carmen Soto as to blame the president for something that is her doing, her and her friends doing. They did this. And if they didn't do it, they didn't fix it. They didn't repair it. They didn't make it better. They're just as guilty, if not more. So these two clowns know what's going on in Puerto Rico, joined in with Carmen. CNN decided to listen, and guess what? They never bothered to speak to anybody from FEMA. Nobody before this interview spoke with representatives of FEMA to get the truth. They've got leakers all over the White House, supposedly. They've got unnamed sources all over Washington, D.C., but I guess they don't have any unnamed sources in FEMA to actually say what the truth is. Well, here is my source, and this isn't typed up. You heard the man. His words, his voice, he stepped up. The idea of covering his name was my idea. Because if CNN can protect their sources by typing whatever they want and not giving a name, well, guess what? At least I've given you a voice. He's given you information. I haven't given you anything. He gave you information that you can quickly look up, like that 1991 Act of Puerto Rico. You can look that up. You can look up how many power stations were actually on the island, and it will say two, but one doesn't work. Or it'll say one functional electric power plant. What does that tell you? Well, if it's one functional, then there's got to be something else that's not functional. So here is the from somebody who was on the ground. Somebody who has, mind you, D retired from the United States military as a lieutenant colonel. Now, if he would have gone into the military straight in as an officer, he would have retired as least a one-star general. He would have been a one-star. His credibility is untouchable. His knowledge is unchallenged. You cannot challenge his intelligence or the information he has. Because if you do, you're going to lose. I promise you that. So therefore, next week, get as many people as you can. Once this is online, on Rod's Archives or Rod's YouTube, spread this out. Spread it out near and far. People need to listen to this. And then once that's done, everybody come back next week and listen to the rest. Okay, I'm off my soapbox. Thank you very much.
Well, there you go. Thank you for this week's report, and we look forward to finishing this up next week. Until then, have a wonderful week, my friend.
You too, and God bless everyone. Bye.
We'll be back.
Warning. Listening to the Rod Eccles Show by the idiot left may cause outrage, fear, a need for safety pins and or spaces. If you experience any of these symptoms or are allergic to truth, tune in and learn something, Snowflake.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide, plus what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosett Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosettJr.com.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Welcome back. Now we come to the point in the program where I bring you today's holidays. Yes, we haven't forgotten that. Today's holidays are for September number 5 are thus. It is National Be Late for Something Day. Yeah, if you're always running around trying to be on time for everything, well, today is the day that you have permission to be late. And once you're late, you just say, well, it's National Be Late for Something Day. And I just decided to be late for this. I'm sure those who are waiting for you are not going to be happy. But hey, just tell them, it's a holiday. They got to be happy for holidays. So they should be happy that you're late. It's also National Cheese Pizza Day. Now, I thought Wednesdays were Prince Spaghetti Day. Was that Wednesdays? Or was that Thursday? I know it was some day in the week. It was middle of the week. Was it Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday? I remember the commercial. I just can't remember the exact day. I think it's Wednesdays. You know, hey, Anthony! You know, but nobody ever said that for pizza. But today is National Cheese Pizza Day. Not any other kind of pizza. You know, not pepperoni and not, you know, supreme. Just go out and have a cheese pizza for lunch. There are some cheese pizzas that are really, really good. Especially if they're loaded with, you know, 4 or 5 different kinds of cheeses. Now, I don't know if you have a really good pizza joint in your area, but find one and have cheese pizza today. Or even just have a bad cheese pizza. Go to, you know, there's some pizzas are bad, but they're good because they're bad. I mean, they're not like yuck bad, but I'm not going to name any names. I could name a couple of pizza joints that people love because it's not absolutely delectable pizza, just because it's just the kind of pizza that kind of comfort food. And you know the places. Some of them are national chains and some of them are regional, at least around here regional. You know who I'm talking about. It's also National Shrink Day. Yeah, head shrinkers. In other words, psychologists, psychiatrists, and psychoanalysts are celebrated. I'm not celebrating any of those kind of people. I'm sorry. You know, these people, in my opinion, these people often make up mental conditions just so they can have a job. The vast majority, do you know how many people are actually going to see some form of a shrink on a regular basis? The amount of people, the percentage of the population that is under the care of a mental health professional is staggering. Because people feel that they have to pay for somebody to listen to them. And whatever happened to friendship? You got a problem, talk to your friend. Now, no, they're probably not trained, but most friends have your best interests at heart, and they will try to give you the best possible advice. Usually, especially psychiatrists and psychologists, they don't give you advice. They listen to you, and then they tell you, well, what do you think you should do about it, or how do you feel about it? And that's supposed to make you feel better? No, you don't get any advice on how to solve your problem. They try to get you to figure it out yourself. Well, damn, you don't need to pay somebody an awful lot of money to do that. But in any case, and what's given rise in this industry is this whole executive or coach type of idea. You know, the person that you speak to once a week or every day or something that's supposed to help you achieve your goals, and they really don't give you a whole hell of a lot of advice. They try to help you come up with your own advice and try to hold you accountable. This is a profession. By the way, personal coach, life coach, executive coach. It's a massive profession. It is huge in England and Australia. And it is catching on here in the United States and Canada. It's amazing how fast this thing is catching on. And now that just a few years ago, there was real no formal training. Now there is in this country. And I think in Australia, you actually have to be licensed. Yeah, it's now to the point where you have to be licensed. Not yet here, but they do have, you can get a degree. And believe it or not, you can get a real degree, associates and bachelors, basically, in life or executive coaching. So this is, they're a part of this whole mental shrink day thing. So those are the people that you can celebrate, and those are your holidays for today, September number 5. So now, especially with the cheese pizza, please celebrate responsibly. Speaking of responsibility, the SEC, yes, the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, now wants to keep tabs on social media. They want to keep tabs on social media posts that they believe can and have moved markets. Now, I understand their concern, but understand this is the prelude to regulating your speech. Don't doubt me on this, folks. Do not doubt me. Yeah, because we've had so many people, you know, screaming, well, we need regulation, regulation. And I've often warned people, no, you don't want government coming in to regulate because you're going to get regulation that you do not want. And here's the first step. It is going to be difficult if the SEC decides to regulate. Now they're going to consider the possibility of some sort of insider trading stuff when it comes to people talking about stocks and investments on social media, especially if it seems to help move a company's stock up or down. Do people realize how difficult it is to be one of these so-called financial gurus on the air, whether it be TV or radio? I mean, what do you got? Kramer? You know, he has to be careful because a lot of people ask him questions, and there are times when he says, well, you know what? That's a very good question. I cannot comment on that. And the reason he can't is because he may own stock or hold positions in that particular company. So what he talks about is companies that he doesn't own positions in, because the law is that if he talks about, you know, the stuff that he has personal investments or connections with, and the stock goes up or down because of it, or it can be construed it goes up or down because of what he says, he could be in violation of all kinds of regulations. So this is, and he's a professional at this. Now, can you imagine just a regular everyday person talking about some news that they heard about, you know, one of the stocks that they own? You know, I often tell people, well, yeah, I own Home Depot stocks. Can you imagine if I say something good or bad about Home Depot? It goes viral. Well, now under SEC regulations, I could be held accountable and liable for that. That's what I'm talking about. When you don't, you're going to get regulation that you don't want. Got to be careful with when you ask government to regulate, folks, even when it comes to social media. And I've said this before. I know people want to talk about freedom of speech and freedom of expression. Yeah, I fully understand it. But please remember, you don't own those platforms. They're still privately held platforms. Therefore, when it comes to constitutional free speech, it does not apply. And if you start demanding that government regulates them or gives you an Internet Bill of Rights, well, there, you know, Internet Bill of Rights, there comes regulation with that. And if you think it's going to free you up to be able to say whatever you want to say on any platform that you want to say it, you better think again. And here's the first of it. SEC is now going to keep tabs, or wants to keep tabs, on social media posts that has to do with the markets. Now, how long before other agencies decide that, yeah, well, we need to keep tabs on social media for this aspect or that aspect? And then how long after they start keeping tabs are they going to decide, well, we need to regulate this? And how long after that before you find yourself in a federal court because you're not a professional, you're not a lawyer, you don't understand these stupid regulations, but you're being brought up on charges of violating a certain regulation or rule? which carries the same or even greater weight than a law. Yeah, how would you like to go to jail or be threatened with jail because one of your tweets or posts or what have you, they think moved the market? And what happens if somehow you profit by that move? I don't know, because you own the stock, stock goes up, and then you sell it. Well, you probably didn't think that anything that you said was going to move your stock or the market in a direction for it to go up, and then you could sell and make an extra money off of it. You'll just probably think, yeah, you know, I love this company, blah, blah, blah. It's a wonderful company. You know, Home Depot is great. Great, great, great. It's, profits are through the roof. Man, everybody's going to Home Depot. Next thing you know, Home Depot is up, you know, 15%. You're thinking, I'm going to sell some of this stuff because I can use that money. Then you get a knock on your door. Somebody comes in with a warrant, takes your computers and cell phones, and next thing you know, 6 months later, you're standing in front of a judge. That's going to happen if they begin regulating. I'm just here to warn people. So what is the solution to this? Keep regulation out of it. Stop demanding that government do something on private platforms. Because you're going to get the kind of regulation you did not want nor expected. And you're still not going to be able to say whatever the hell you want. And you're going to give these platforms additional ammo to block you, put you in Facebook, Twitter, whatever jail, social media jail, or to ban you from their platforms altogether. It's going to be actually even easier. And then they're going to do it with the blessing of the government. Think about that. You think it's bad now on Twitter? Wait till they start issuing some regulations and Twitter is just going to say, look, you violated this regulation. You're done. And you're going to think, what? Don't say I didn't warn you about this, folks. Solution is stop asking for regulation. Start finding platforms that are open to your kind of, I don't care what it is. You know, you can be the biggest racist KKK bigot out there. I don't give a damn. You know, you're going to find these kinds of people on social media because there are these kinds of people out there in real life. You're going to have to learn how to deal with them. Now, on most social media platforms, you have the ability to block them. So you at least don't see them, anything that they have to say. And you can even block them in most social media cases or platforms from them, block them from seeing what you have to say. That's your weapon. Don't ask for government to be your weapon because that weapon will get turned on you. If Twitter is not very accepting of your beliefs, find a platform that is. I've often given people alternative social media place platforms to go to where they will be more free to express their, say, conservative opinions. Yeah, even if they're, you know, an anti-Semite or a racist, just all out racist, there are platforms you can go. Don't complain to the government that Twitter and Facebook. Look, Facebook is. Where is that story? Actually, speaking of Facebook, I got a story. Where is that story about Facebook? Facebook is 45% of Facebook users have taken a break from Facebook at some time in the past year. It's amazing stuff. They're changing their relation. Here it is with Pew Research has this. 42% of Facebook users have taken a break from the site in the past year. U.S. adults who use Facebook who say they have done the following in the past 12 months, anything on the platform, 74%, adjusted their privacy settings, 54% have said they've done that, taken a break from checking for several weeks or more. So several weeks usually means three or more weeks. 42% have said this. Deleted the app from their phone. Now, this is important. 26% of Facebook users said that they have deleted the Facebook app from their phone. 74% of Facebook users said that they have taken one or more of these, or done one or more of these activities in the last 12 months. 74%. This follows up on the heel of Facebook last month reporting their daily page views down half from a year ago. 8 billion page views a year ago to 4 billion. Their user base down from 2 billion to 1.2 billion. If you want to change a platform, this is how you do it. You stop using it. At some point, they're going to either have to change or they will die. Just like MySpace. I'm sure there are many, many people probably have forgotten MySpace. There's probably a whole generation that thinks, what the hell is MySpace? MySpace was the Facebook of the early to mid, the early 2000s, the first decade of the 2000s. It was all about MySpace. At one time valued, what did it sell for to News Corp for $500 million, $500 million? And now it's not even anywhere, it's not even worth $50 million. It's still there, but they had to change. This is what's going to happen, or can happen, and should happen to Facebook and Twitter. You hit them in their pocketbook. Now, if they want to be a liberal outpost, they're going to be much smaller than they are. They're not going to be as influential. They're not going to make as much money. And that's fine if that's the way they want to stay. But if they want to keep their influence and they want to keep making the kind of money that they're currently making and all that kind of stuff, then they're going to have to change. And you can force it. Look at everybody doing this Nike thing. I understand the Colin Kaepernick. Trust me, there's no love lost between me and Colin Kaepernick at all. But I think it's kind of foolish. The reason is because if you're destroying your own personal stuff, I understand the statement that you're making, but you've already given them the money. You've already bought the product that you're destroying, that you're burning. Great, it makes you feel good. But that's not going to hurt Nike. What's going to hurt Nike is if you never buy another Nike product. That's where they're going to feel it. That's where they're going to pay attention. Because what, you're going to go out, people who don't have Nike, are they going to go out and buy something and then burn it so they can feel good about it? Well, that's dumb because, and believe me, there's going to be a lot of people who do that. The money's, they already got it. They got the money. That's the whole point. If you want companies to change, hit them where it hurts, and that's in their bottom line, their wallet. Don't use or buy their product or service. It's that simple. Now, I'm not talking boycotts. I'm just talking about you go spend your money at a company or spend your time on a platform that appreciates and wants you there. And you avoid those that don't. It's that simple. Doesn't have to be an organized boycott. Those rarely work. You know, boycotts are based on emotion, and the emotion dies, and people forget about the reason why they boycott, and they go, look at Disney. You know, you had the First Baptist? Back in the 90s, they were boycotting Disney. Why? Because Disney was this, they supported homosexuality. Well, at first, Disney took a small hit. But then as the boycott went on, people forgot why they were boycotting and said, well, you know, it's been long enough. It's been a year. It's been 2 years. Let's go back to Disney. Boycotts don't work. You making a conscious decision to vet the companies for the products and services that they have to offer before you purchase from them makes all the difference. So people who are mad at Nike now, this is not something new, by the way. Nike has always been known to do stuff like this. And, you know, of course, you get people that get ticked off for a little while and they burn their Nike gear or whoever the company is. They burn their logo and then a few months later, everybody forgets about it and then their sales go back up. Don't forget. Don't go back to them until they satisfy your need for them to change. And at some point, you're just going to have to say, well, I will never go back. You're going to have to make that decision too. At this particular point, I'm never going back to the NFL. I'm never going to watch professional football, or I should say, NFL professional football ever again. This whole national anthem thing with Colin Kaepernick and all his buddies, a bunch of overpaid, wealthy people playing a game, acting like they own the teams instead of actually being employees, and the owners capitulating to them, I've had enough of it. 2 years is 2 years too long. So no, I'm done. Now, am I going to go out and burn all my Pittsburgh Steelers stuff? No. Am I going to watch another NFL game? Am I going to buy any new Pittsburgh Steelers stuff? No, I'm done. I can keep the old stuff that I have and think, you know, I remember a day when the NFL was really great. It's a good memory. That's all it is now. You know, people say, well, eventually you go back. Nope. Was it 92 when professional baseball went on strike? So that's it. I'm done with professional baseball. I will never watch another National Baseball League game again. And I didn't, except for a few times when I won contests for the companies that I work for that sent us to a Red Sox game. I have never purchased Major League tickets, paraphernalia, nothing since 92. Now, if somebody else wants to buy it, well, you know, I'm not buying it. Will you still utilize it? Well, maybe. I didn't pay for it. I didn't even pay for the food or the drinks. I spent none of my money while I was at those games. That's it. Don't spend your money. Don't support something that you think is not right. Don't spend your time on it. At all. In any case, I'm glad you spend your time here with me every morning, weekday morning. So come back and do it again tomorrow, because got a lot more to cover that we didn't get to today. And don't forget, next week we'll continue the interview with Agent 0010 and his source named D. Until then, I hope you have a wonderful hump day afternoon. I'll see you back here tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. sharp. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Rod Eccles. I'm out.